Romans 15. We'll start with verse 20, and we'll go to verse 29. So it should be up on the screen for us. Here it says, "And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for it in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I've enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. From Macedonia and Achaia, I have been pleased to make some contribution to the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they also ought to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave you for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ." We're talking about today the church in action, but I think what we don't want to miss out is just a person. It takes a church to be in action, full of people who have a mission heart. I don't know if very many of you know what our mission is. It's actually on the back of your worship folder. But it's to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? It's just basically to plant these seeds that this video is showing and say we need to be in relationship with all types of people. Our first priority, our mission, our first step to go out into the community is to basically be Christ to them. To introduce them what Christ was all about. Not to condemn them, for we know that he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. But what's the second step? Our second priority as far as our mission is to instruct people in spiritual disciplines. And that's what Jesus did. He took in 12 disciples, but he had many more disciples that followed him all over the place. In fact, we know there's upwards of 5,000 or more men that would, at different points in time, that he ended up having to feed. But he was teaching and instructing them the ways of Scripture. Not anything new, actually. He was revealing the truth of the Old Testament, making it known, because many of them knew the Torah. They'd grown up with it. They knew all the concepts there, but they didn't really understand it. And then the last one is to involve people. To involve people in the work of the Lord, to send them out, to be engaged in ministry, right? Not just, oh, I've got all this. I'm coming. I've taken my notes every Sunday. I've got folder upon folders, notebook upon notebook worth of message notes and stuff. And now, man, I'm full of all that God wants me to have and know, right? It's all about me. No. Our mission here at Northway Community Church is to involve you, not only here within these four walls, but out into the community. How we can send you to different places, opportunities of ministry, to allow the seeds that we're planting to begin to grow. And who makes it grow? Me. No. We don't make it grow. God does. But we've got to be willing to plant those seeds and be ready for when it is growing. It's going to need instruction. It's going to need some care and tender grace. Because those seeds won't really understand really what's going on. And ultimately, it's going to need to be harvested. For there will be a great harvest. The leadership has been praying for over a year and a half now for a great harvest to happen. In fact, it's been in the works for the last 9 years at least in life since I've been in ministry here. For something supernatural beyond our capabilities to happen, we've been planting seeds all over this region. And that's what Paul has really been doing. He's been planting seeds all over the region of Asia Minor. Greece and all of Turkey, which today is Turkey, and all over this region. And it was so saturated. In fact, he makes it known that there wasn't a place he couldn't go that hadn't at least heard something about the gospel. And he wanted to finally go to a place where it was a new work, where he had heard about the people there, and he was longing to go to Spain. And I don't know about you, if maybe there's a place in your heart that you long to go to. I would love to go to Hawaii. Man, that'd be a great place to pastor someday, wouldn't it? I don't know why. I've seen pictures of it. It's got to be the ideal place to pastor. And on the beach, have a beach church, you know, something like that. So, but I don't know if that's really what Paul was really trying to get at as far as the location. It was the people he had heard about. And he longed to go there. But God was calling him back to a place that he knew, was very familiar with. A place where he had been trained. Where he had been taught. He had grown up, actually after a period of time, in knowledge and understanding of God's word. But still, his eyes weren't open. But he went back to take care of the saints, to provide for them. Funds had been given to Paul for a while now, and it was his really responsibility to take these funds back to Jerusalem. And I wonder about you. Have you ever been on a mission trip? Have you ever stepped out of your comfort zone and done something that you're like, I don't know, I think I have this all figured out. We'll be doing this, and then when you get there, it never quite works out the way you had planned, right? That's what a mission trip is all about, really. It's not being willing to have a plan, but willing for that plan to kind of be disrupted and for God to show up. That's what really Paul is in his mindset is he's open to. I know I've got to go back to Jerusalem, but my goal is to ultimately go to Spain, but via Rome. I've heard great things about this Roman church. I need to be able to go there. Even though I didn't plant this church, great things are happening. Multiple people had spread the word to Rome, and the church is just exploding. I want to see it for myself. He was excited about this opportunity, but he had to go back, fulfill a responsibility, provide for the poorest of saints. For in Jerusalem, they were being persecuted pretty hard, and that's why they were dispersed all throughout the known world at the time. But there was many Christians and believers still. The Jerusalem church was kind of like the home base for all the other ministries around the world. And yet, they were being persecuted. They were having many, many hardships. Paul reflects on his ministry in this passage that I just read. His deepest desire was to spread the gospel in places where it had not yet been heard. And I wonder about you. Are there places in your life where you're stepping into that the gospel really hasn't been heard? Where they don't know anything about Jesus Christ. Or maybe they know something about church, but they don't really know what the love of God is really like. I challenge you even today, and maybe that's a reason why you need to be stepping into those areas, and if God has really touched you with his love, for you to be able to share it with those individuals. And if you're not in an area like that, challenge you to pray for an area, a relationship, maybe a job or a hobby, some area where you can get involved in the lives of people that will challenge you to be able to share his love in unique and special ways. Paul was very clear that God has given each believer, back in Romans chapter 12, each of us have been given specific gifts in such a way that I can minister to others and I can share the grace of God with others in ways that certain ones, Andy or Bill or Chuck or Becky, they can't. Or you can do it and I can't. You connect with people in certain specific ways and how God wants to use you to proclaim the gospel of his grace. Especially for Paul, it was among the Gentiles. And for us, that's usually, you're not going to be running into the Jewish people. I don't know about you. I don't know a lot of Jewish people, but I do know a lot of Gentiles. I know a lot of unique people that don't typically would come to church. And I bet you do too. And God has put you in their lives for a reason, to be able to, with giftedness, to be able to share his gospel. There's a word here, this gift, that Paul talks about, it was his ambition his calling, his lifelong passion. Do you realize this word ambition? It's used only three times throughout the New Testament. Second, besides verse 20. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim or our ambition to please him." 1 Thessalonians says it like this in chapter 4, "For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, to live with ambition." What's your greatest calling or passion? What's your ambition in life? Is God involved in it? I believe God's asking us today, just as he was challenging Paul, what is your ambition? What's your calling? What are you willing to risk everything, put it all on the line? And if it succeeds, it's all God. Paul, his greatest ambition was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world, as far as the known world. He didn't know there was an America at this time, but he was willing to go as far as Spain, which was the furthest end of the known world at the time that the Roman Empire had conquered and was setting up a government. But he also, his calling was to provide for people's needs. And so he spread the gospel, and he would take collections wherever he went, not just for himself, to take care of his own needs, because he was a tent maker. He was already providing for his own needs by his own ambition to be able to just say, I need to be able to provide for the larger church, just for the spread of the gospel and for the funds to go where people's needs were. And he had this calling. And that's why he was going back to Jerusalem to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Was a passion, was a calling, but it was also a driving force, an ambition for Paul. God's mission was a driving force of Paul's mission to share the good news that he sent his son not only to live on this earth, to live amongst his creation, but to die and make a way for them to have eternal life, a gift beyond anything we could do on our own. Again, what drives you? For whom do you really believe in? Is it something just on your own? In verses 50, again, in this passage from 22 through 29, we see that the role of our church is not just to gather on Sunday morning. Paul gives a prime example that he was, every church that he went to, we have a greater calling, not just for ourselves, but to be a part of the greater whole. There's many other works and ministries, and especially the Jerusalem church, but he makes it known up in Macedonia, these churches were helping fund the work of the Lord to spread the gospel. And such has to be the case for us, to know as a local church, it's much bigger than us. We don't just gather on Sunday mornings. That you, me, whatever we're doing throughout the week, but also churches all around the world are doing a work. They're being called, have an ambition and passion to do what? To spread the gospel, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So Paul, his perspective and his passion drove him to have these two takeaways that I just want to challenge you today. Paul expects churches to have a global perspective. Do you know what's happening around the world in the life of the church? Do you know some areas that are being persecuted? Do you know what's happening in China and how the church is just exploding over there, the house churches? Some of the house churches we typically think are very, very small, but many of them are bigger than our church. And yet God's doing an incredible work there. Do you see our church and being a part of what's happening in Hungary? And we don't just send funds. We know what's going on. And we every month we send or give you in a worship folder a handout of different ministries around the world to be able to be praying for on a daily basis, a different location. Do you take advantage of that? Put it in your Bible and refer to it on a regular basis. I hope so. We are called to give resources and to direct you and give insight for you, but we can't do it for you. So Paul expects churches to have a global perspective, and that's why he was going back to Jerusalem, because they knew where those funds were supposed to go to, and he wanted to make sure that he was being a good steward of those funds. Paul hopes also, and perhaps he expects it, that the church in Rome will support his mission or ministry to Spain. So he says, I'm going to eventually show up, and you know, maybe you'll give something so that I'll end up in Spain. That's kind of the goal, where I want to go to. In fact, in verse 24, there's a Greek word. I won't even pronounce it, but it means to help. It's often used to indicate the act of supporting or equipping someone on a journey. There in verse 24, and how often we need to be, we're called to help and we don't help, and yet Paul is challenging us as a local church to help, to support someone on their journey, to be in ministry. In Acts chapter 15, verse 3, we see this. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing this detail, the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. So when people come to know the Lord, there's great joy for all involved, because we all feel like we have a part. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 1, I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Titus, he says, do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. Participate in the ministry of in the work of the Lord. And in 3 John, we read, who testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their way, in their journey in a manner worthy of God. To participate in the work of the Lord, that maybe you're not able to go yourself, but you're helping. You're finding some way to support. You're praying. You're making it known. You're spreading the word. This is more than just about us. It could be financial. It could be material. As I said, it could be in prayer. But are we intentionally doing that? Paul was also probably looking for some co-workers. Who is willing to risk it all, leave their work, leave the conveniences of home, and maybe family members, maybe a spouse, to come along and serve with me, to go to Spain? I wonder if God was prompting one of us today, prompting us to Africa. I joke with Chuck all the time. He says, God, send me anywhere, but don't send me to Africa. And I'm like, yeah, you know, Africa may not be, you know, you may not be going around the world, but there may be, so to speak, in Africa just down the street. Are you willing to go there into neighborhoods where the gospel isn't being proclaimed, isn't being made known? Isn't being shared with a gentle spirit, not a condemning spirit? I wonder, where is God sending you? Where is God sending us? In verse 29, finally, Paul declares, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. There's this phrase that really struck me. Kind of took me back really hard this week and just really understanding what this fullness of the blessing of Christ really looks like. Why are we not coming in the fullness of Christ? I mean, what does that look like in your life? Are you holding back? Can you say, I'm coming into any situation, into any relationship, that I'm coming with the fullness of the blessing of Christ? That God has sent me there, and I'm going to be involved there, and I'm going to do it not with my own power, but with the power, the fullness of God at work in me, beyond anything I could do on my own. Can we honestly say to ourselves that that's what we're doing now, how we're living our lives? God is calling each and every one of us to that life of a fullness of the blessing of Christ, to be so ambitious, to be so passionate about Him, that we're full of Him, empowered by Him to change people's lives. Do you realize today that 75% of all churchgoers, it's said that Gallup did a report that do not read the Bibles daily? And I challenge you, as I challenge myself, be in God's Word. We can't be in the fullness of the blessing of Christ without knowing God's Word and being sensitive to what He's trying to say to us, where He's trying to lead us. We talk about God for some of us a lot, but are we really responding? Are we really responding to the ambition, to the calling that He's placed on our lives? It's challenging. It's difficult. It will cause some sacrifices. It will hurt at times. It won't be what we want at times, because we know how the story ends with Paul, don't we? His ambition was to go to Spain. Did he ever reach Spain? No. He longed to go there. In fact, how he made it to Rome wasn't the ideal way to make it to Rome, for he was imprisoned in Jerusalem. And then he would be shipped on to Rome, where ultimately would be beheaded. I wonder about you today. Are you willing to still have an ambition for something or someone, such as the cause of Christ, to the point that even if it doesn't work out the way you thought it would, it was worth going after? Oops. I was reading the other day, actually, out of a book called The Outward Mindset, a book that I've been challenged a lot lately. It goes like this: with an inward mindset, people behave in ways that are calculated to benefit themselves. With an outward mindset, people are able to consider and behave in ways that further the collective results that they are committed to achieve. Let me say that again. With an inward mindset, people behave in ways that are calculated to only benefit themselves. With an outward mindset, people are able to consider and behave in ways that further the collective results that they are committed to achieve. See, a church can't survive if we have an inward mindset. A church is not created so that all we are doing is all about us. A church has been created by God Himself to have an outward mindset, to believe and know that it can make a greater impact beyond these walls. Yes, it may start here, but we can't focus just here. It has to overflow, to be engaged in people's lives. Are we willing to go there? In a book called No Silver Bullets, talking about missionary work. As local congregations are built up to reach out in mission to the world, they will become, in fact, what they already are by faith: God's missionary people. We are God's missionary people, called to do something far beyond our capability. And Paul is challenging the early church: hey, I want you to be a part of what God is doing, not only in me, but through me. Are you willing to come alongside? Are you willing to help? Are you willing to partner with me? Maybe even journey with me? Whatever God is prompting on your heart to be ambitious about, will you respond? God has called each and every one of us to have an outward mindset. Because what happens when we start looking outward, it impacts us inward. When we begin to go on the mission field, we heard this for years, and I don't know if you've never gone on a mission trip overseas especially, but even locally in the cities or in the rural areas of Kentucky or West Virginia, We often heard for years, oh, we're going to take Christ there. And yet what ends up happening is we encounter Christ already at work there. When we start seeing outwardly, having that mindset that's more than just everything's all about me and what I can do and look what I'm bringing to this situation. But when we begin to realize, wow, God, you're already out here and you want me to learn. You want me to experience all of you. And you're at work in some of the darkest areas of this world. And you're calling me to go there. Whatever that may mean for you, God is calling you to think outwardly, to have an outward mindset as a church. What are we going to be able to do? It isn't about having a block party here at Northway Community Church so that people will come to our church. No, it's so that we will be receptive to those in our community. We are opening ourselves up and say, we want you to know how much we love you. It's not so that you'll come to our church. It's so that we can love you, so that you can experience what God has done in our lives, so we can hear your stories. We can be exposed to you more than you're exposed to us. What type of mindset do we have? We're longing to be engaged in our community in such a way that there's radical transformation taking place. So what are you going to do with this message that I shared with you today? Are you willing to see life through the lives of others? It's messy, I promise you. God's word's very clear about it. It will get messy. It won't make sense at times. And I say it over and over again, it will cost you something. But that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And secondly, so what? Are you willing to see life through the lives of others? Maybe even ask yourself this. Ask someone of a different walk of life. Political, ethnic, educational level, financial level, relationship status, to sit down with them to get a better perspective of their point of view on life. So are you willing to take that risk and to discover your point of view may not be right? The way you've been living may not be the only way to live. But God's wanting to expose you to all of His creation. And for you to have confidence enough in God Himself that He's implanted His Word so that your faith is secure. You know who you are in Christ. Don't step into areas like that where you're still questioning who your faith and whether you believe in God or not. And then you will end up becoming a Hindu, or you will end up becoming a Muslim or something. But your confidence in who Jesus is, and you can step into those situations and listen and to see things as only Christ can do. And they begin to be receptive to your story because you know your story. It's not you personally. It's His story, as we've reiterated over and over again the last several weeks. The story that we are living is God's story being lived out. And for you to have the ability to articulate what that story is truly all about is that God's grace means everything to this world. This world is nothing without the grace of God. For it's all sufficient. It's all that we need. It's all anybody needs. But are we willing to really live in that? To believe in that, to have the fullness of that. Always shortchanging what God's wanting us to do. Heavenly Father, we come to your table this morning. Acknowledging with your verbal, physical, and financial support, it's vital you see the importance of this change in leadership. Is not our will, but God's. See, as a Free Methodist Church, we submit to the authority placed over us as Scripture so strongly encourages us to do so. We don't have to agree with it, but we know God places men and women imperfect just like us to carry out His will. So consequently, May 27th will be the Shimko's last Sunday as your pastoral family in Northway Community Church. Ultimately, God will be given the glory through this decision. The Keystone Conference has evaluated the progress and growth of the church and has seen the need to make a change in leadership for future growth. We're confident that in the long run, our witness and testimony will reveal the greatness of the life changes and transformations which have and are taking place here. We leave you with this encouragement. May you know that we will always thank God for each of you and the opportunity we've had to walk with you. Please continue in the call of God on your life. God's been transforming you from the inside out to begin to share His great love with those in this church and in this community. There's a bright future ahead for all of us because of the greatness of God. And we just like to say thank you for loving our family so sacrificially and for partnering with us over these last 9 years to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. We will always thank God for each of you. And it's with the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we say from JJ, Vicky, and Tyre Shimko.